بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. First and foremost, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Peace and blessings upon everybody. الحمد لله. We thank Allah سبحانه وتعالى for granting us yet another opportunity that we're able to understand this beautiful deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speaking about the best of creation, and that is the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The last time we spoke about something that was very important concerning the methodology of the Rabbi alayhi sallam, in the sense of how his beginning was and how he started off, and how important it is also to look at the different aspects of the Nabi when he was young. So we covered a few things concerning that, and today inshallah ta'ala we'll continue with speaking about the young days of the Rabbi alayhi sallam. You know, everybody, most of the people know about the old days of the Rabbi alayhi sallam. Well, we don't say old, but when he was a bit older. And what is beautiful also is his young days, because us as youth, friends, I'm a youngster, so us as youth, we are able to always, you know, extract lessons and things that we're able to find that is very wise, that the Rabbi alayhi sallam as a youngster, as a normal youngster, he did in preventing himself from falling into certain things or challenges that he faced or trials or tribulations that he faced. And we are able to learn from the sunnah of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So today inshallah ta'ala we continue. So the next thing that we speak about is the Nabi alayhi sallam when he turned the age of 12. What happened was then Abu Talib, the uncle of the Nabi alayhi sallam, decides then to take him for a trip, a business trip, if I put it that way. And as they're on their way out of Makkah and they come to the outskirts in Bilad al-Sham, they find this well where people are gathering all by, and they are resting and they're finding some peace and contentment, and they come across a man called Bahira. Now, who was Bahira? Bahira was a man that was known as a rabbi. He was considered as a knowledgeable person when it came to the Bible and it came to the books of the people of the book concerning the Christians and the Jews, and he was also a Jew. So he had a lot of understanding and knowledge of the revelation of Nabi Isa and Nabi Musa, and also he was considered as a very knowledgeable and respectful person, and it's documented in history. So Bahira, he sees the Nabi Sallam as a youngster, remember, 12 years old, very young. And he notices that there's something about this youngster, something that is attracting me, something that is pulling me towards this youngster. And he decides then to start to speak to this youngster. But what happens then is, he starts to pick up that this is not an ordinary kind of youngster, this is not an ordinary small boy, there is something that is unique and special about him. So Abu Talib comes, and then Bahira then asks him, who is this boy? First of all, and he said, it's Muhammad. And he asked, who is he from you? And he said, he's my son. Now, of course, we know that he was not his son, but Abu Talib called him his son because of the way he brought him up. He was brought up in the house of Abu Talib, and therefore Abu Talib looked at him as one of his sons or one of his children, and that was the love that he had and the respect that he had for the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Bahira said, no, it can't be. This boy, it cannot be that his father, he is alive. And Abu Talib looked at this man very strange. How does he know? Something very weird, because nobody knew from those that were in that valley. Nobody really knew them. Nobody really knew who was Nabi alayhi sallam. Nobody really knew who was Abu Talib. And this man is able to pick up that first thing, as we mentioned, the father of the Nabi alayhi sallam, Abdullah, passed on before he was born. And Bahira asked this, and he says, no, this boy's father cannot be alive. So then Abu Talib then says, innahu ibn akhi, yes, indeed, he is my nephew. And then the man then asked him, fama fa'ala abuhu, what happened to his father? Then he said, qala mata wa ummu habla bihi, that Abu Talib then tells him that he died, the father died when his mother was pregnant with him. And then Bahira said, sadaqt, indeed, you are telling the truth. And Bahira immediately starts to realize, who is this person? And immediately when Abu Talib then tells him this, Bahira then tells him, look, take this boy and go away. and don't let any of the people, whether it's the Jews or the people of the book, do not let them see this boy or come close to this boy. Why? Because they might cause him harm. Why is Bahira saying this? Because he knew who was this boy. He knew exactly that this is the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he also told him, لَا أَبْلُغَنَّهُ شَرًّا فَإِنَّهُ كَائِنْ لِإِبْنِ أَخِيكَ هَذَا شَأْنٌ عَظِيمٌ. For your nephew is going to have a great and magnificent and beautiful blessed future. It's going to be great. فأسرع به أبو طالب عائدا إلى مكة. So then Abu Talib then brought the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back to Mecca. So what? Let's understand the whole concept here. So the first thing we see is that Bahira, as a Jew, he knew exactly who was this boy. So it means they had an understanding of there is a prophet that is going to come after Nabi Isa alayhi salam, and they knew this. And Bahira, the mere fact that he could realize and identify that this indeed is a great noble boy that is blessed and he's going to be something that is great in the future, he could see the signs of nubuwa, of prophethood upon the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know that the Nabi alayhi salam was mentioned both in the Torah and the Injil. And we will get to that inshallah, proving that he was mentioned in the Torah and the Injil. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us in the Holy Quran, وَإِذْ قَالَ عِيسَى ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيَّ مِنَ التَّوْرَاةِ وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِي إِسْمُهُ أَحْمَدُ فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمُ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ قَالُوا هَذَا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes us the story when Nabi Isa alayhi salam informed his people about a prophet that is going to come after him. And Allah then said, وَإِذْ قَالَ عِيسَى, when Isa alayhi salam told Bani Israel, the children of Israel, إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ, that indeed I am a messenger. And to understand, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want us just to understand the translation, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also encourages us to understand the Quran in its tafsir, in explanation. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ, do they not ponder and contemplate upon the Quran? And that is when we see the truth. Now look how Isa alayhi salam first started his words. He first established that, am I not a prophet from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That indeed you believe that I am a prophet from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is he trying to say? That first thing, guess what? I won't lie. I'm a prophet that was sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so therefore I won't lie to you when I tell you something. And he starts off by saying this verse in order to confirm that whatever he's going to say is the truth. And that's why they believe that he was indeed the messenger of God before, of course, everything was corrupted. So we find that Nabi Isa alayhi salam starts off with that I am indeed a messenger from God. And then he starts with this message. He said, مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ أَدَيَّ مِنَ التَّوْرَاةِ, that what I have concerning these messages is exactly confirming and affirming the Torah. Who is the Torah belong? Or who was it sent to? Nabi Musa alayhi salam. وَمُمَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ إِسْمُ أَحْمَدٍ. So he's not only confirming of what Musa alayhi salam brought, but he's confirming that there is a messenger that is going to come after me. Now what is the significance of Nabi Isa mentioning Nabi Musa and then mentioning the Nabi alayhi salam? We will get to that. It's very same. Keep the thought. We'll get to it now. So this shows to you that Nabi Isa alayhi salam indeed informed his people about the coming of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why Bahira knew exactly who is this boy, because they were informed before. We look at the hadith of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Nabi alayhi sallam said, Ismi fi Tawrah ahid li anni ahid ummati anil nar. He says, my name was mentioned in the Torah, and it's mentioned the one that saves his people from the fire. And then also he says, wa ismi fi Zabur al-Mahi. And my name is also mentioned in the Zabur. Who was the Zabur's books? Was Nabi Dawood alayhi salam. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. As if, I apologize. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, he is the one that received that, Al-Zabur. Mahi Allahu bi Abdat al-Authan. Why was he called Al-Mahi? Mahi means the one that demolishes or destroys the worshipping of idols. And that is what the Nabi alayhi salam did. And he says, Wa ismi fil Injil, and my name in the Injil, the book or the Bible of the Christians, ismi Ahmad, my name is Ahmad that is mentioned in there. Wa ismi fil Quran Muhammad, and my name in the Quran is mentioned as Muhammad. Why? Because Muhammad is the one that is all praise. And look at the beauty. Starts by all the names. If you look at all the Bibles, the Nabi alayhi salam mentioned all of them, and then at the end he is mentioned that he is the one that is all praised by what? By the books that came before. by the people that came before, the prophets that came before. That's why his final last name, as mentioned in the Quran, was Muhammad, the one that is all praised. The one that is all praised. And this shows to you the sequence. Wallahi, this is the beautiful thing of the Quran. Its sequence, it's a miracle. Wallahi, it's a miracle. It's just beautiful. So, this was the hadith of the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, let's go to the Bible. We find in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18, it is said unto Moses. So God is speaking to Moses. He said, I will raise them a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Now, we find that the ulama, the scholars of Christianity, they have an interpretation for this. As Muslimin, we say, look, that passage is speaking about the Nabi alayhi salam. But then they say, no, this passage is speaking about Nabi Isa alayhi salam. But now let's analyze the text itself. We see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all starts by mentioning to Nabi Musa alayhi salam that he is going to raise from them a prophet among their brethren. Not from themselves exactly, no, from their brethren. So he's not Bani Israel, he's a brother to Bani Israel. Who is the brother to Bani Israel? The Arabs. Because who did they both connect to? Who was the father of Ismail and who was the father of Ishaq? Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. And that's the whole thing. At the end of the day, the Jews and the Muslims are actually brothers in humanity. Why? Because they came from the same father, and that is Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Ismail alayhi salam is the brother of Ishaq alayhi salam. And look at the beauty. God supposedly told Musa that I'm going to send somebody amongst their brethren. Who is the brethren? The people of Ismail, and that is the Arabs. So he first speaks about that. Then he goes on and he continues. He says, like unto thee, meaning he's going to be like you. He's going to be like who? Like Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Now let's break it down. If you look at the life of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, and you look at the life of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, and you look at the life of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see that there is certain things that are very much similar between these three, and certain things that is more similar with the two than the one. Now, in order to know, when you want to know a person, you get to know the beginning, you get to know the middle of their life, and you get to know the end of their life. These are the three main points of a person's life. It's your beginning, it's what you do in the middle, and the end. How do you live your life? Okay? So the first thing, let's look at the beginning of these prophets. Nabi Musa alayhi salam, when he was born a natural birth. He had a father and he had a mother. And we look at the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was born naturally, he had a mother and he had a father. No problem. Look at Nabi Isa alayhi salam, he wasn't born the same. He was born miraculously by a mother alone. So we find that the two that are more similar to each other in this point is the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Nabi Musa alayhi salam. But yet Nabi Isa alayhi salam is not similar in his beginning. Now let's go into the middle, their life. What did they do on this dunya? Nabi Musa alayhi salam, it is mentioned that he got married and he had children, he had offspring. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married and he had children and had offspring. But Nabi Isa alayhi salam, it does not anywhere document, and neither is it proven, neither do any pope or priest ever say that Nabi Isa alayhi salam got married. And that's why you find that priests, they do not get married, because Isa alayhi salam did not have a wife, he did not have a family, he did not have children. But wait, Musa and Muhammad looks again similar. Nabi Musa, family, wife, children. Nabi alayhi salam, wife, children. Second point that is similar. So the beginning, both of their beginnings are the same, and the middle of their life is also the same. Now we go to the end. We see that Nabi Musa alayhi salam died a natural death. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died a natural death. But then we see Nabi Isa alayhi salam, first of all, according to Muslimin, we know that Nabi Isa alayhi salam was not killed, he was not murdered, he was raised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But according to the Christians, he was murdered. So Musa and Muhammad had a natural death, but Isa had, he didn't have a natural death, he was murdered, he was killed, he was slaughtered, at least he was crucified, and that indeed is not a natural death. So the beginning, the middle, and the end, all things are different concerning Musa and Isa, but guess who is more similar? than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You find him more similar to Nabi Musa alayhi salam than Nabi Isa himself. One of the main things also concerning the name of the Nabi alayhi salam mentioned in the Bible, and that's why I say the people of the book, they knew who was the Nabi alayhi salam and they knew of his coming. In the Songs of Solomon chapter 5 verse 16, it is said, Solomon says, his mouth is sweetness itself. He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, this is my friend. Now the word here, lovely, if you go to the Hebrew text, the original, the Old Testament, the original, because you know the Israelites, they spoke Hebrew. You find it translated into Greek, into English, into everything you find today. But what was the original text that was written in Hebrew? So the best understanding to understand the Bible is to go to the origin, that is Hebrew. So in the Hebrew text you find that it's mentioned when they come across the part of lovely. In Hebrew it is said Muhammadin. Muhammadim. Now what does dim mean? You hear Muhammad but you hear dim. Dim is a plural honor. You know, when you say the king says we conquered, he's talking about himself. He's not going to give credit to anybody else, but he says we conquered this and so on like that. Yes, the army did it, but he's going to keep it to himself. He's not going to, if there's some sort of land that he's going to now just give it to anybody. No, he's going to keep it to himself because he sees himself as the one that is victorious. But when he uses we, he's basically trying to honor himself. And that's why, for instance, when you find in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidun." We have sent down this dhikr. Now in the Arabic language, we'll find that when Allah says we, there's two types of plurals. Plural of numbers and plural of respect and honor. And here we find in the Hebrew, im. Im, just like they say, ilahim. The plural honor for God. They don't believe in more than one God, they believe in one God. And exactly the same thing, they are honoring Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when they say him. So you see a Muhammadim mentioned in Hebrew. And I challenge, please, go to the Old Testament, find the words in Hebrew, and you look for the Muhammadim. Take that word as it is in Hebrew, find a dictionary, you can go online and place it. I think Google has an automatic dictionary if you want to translate words from Hebrew into English, and place the word there and see what comes up. You will see that the word Muhammadin comes in English, Muhammadin. Why? Because it is not, it's not a description and it's not a definition. No, it is a name, and you don't translate names. That's the thing. Muhammadin in Hebrew is Muhammadin in English, because names you do not translate. Mr. Black stays Mr. Black, whether you say it in Hebrew, whether you say it in Arabic, whether you say it in Urdu, whether you say it in whatever language. Mr. Black stays Mr. Black. You're not going to say in English, if a person's name is Mr. Black, you're not going to come in Arabic and say, no, he's the one that is dark-skinned. No, you don't give a description or you don't give a definition to the name itself. No, you translate it as it is. And that is what happened. They translated the word Muhammadim to altogether lovely. What does lovely indicate to? You know, all majestic, all praise. And that is where the origin of the word Muhammadin comes from. So it is mentioned in the Old Testament. You can find it also in YouTube. Various people speak about this everywhere. But you will hear that the rabbis quote Muhammadin. So this name was mentioned in the Bible, and you find it in the Old Testament again. In Songs of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16. So what does this all tell us? That indeed the name of the Nabi alayhi salam, indeed the knowing or the coming of the Nabi alayhi salam was known to the people of the book. And that's why you find, according to history, what did the people of the book used to do when they used to have some sort of conflict with the Arabs? They used to then tell them that we are waiting for our prophet that is going to come, and when he comes, we will naqtulukum qatla adin. We will fight with you and destroy you like the people of Ad was destroyed. And they use this all the time in order to place fear into the Arabs' hearts. And that's why they had an understanding. They knew exactly that there is a prophet that is coming after Isa, and they knew exactly that this prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was mentioned by Nabi Isa alayhi salam, and was mentioned by Nabi Musa, and was mentioned by Nabi Nabi Sulaiman and all of these prophets that came before the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why the Nabi alayhi wasallam then said, وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ كِتَابٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعْهُمْ وَكَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلِ يَسْتَفْتِحُونَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَا عَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ. And he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 89, he said, وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ كِتَابٌ, and when a book came to them, مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعْهُمْ, indeed it is truthful and confirms on that what is with them, meaning, what is with them is what? The Injil, supposedly the Injil, the original Injil is with them, this confirms that. وَكَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلِ يَسْتَفْتِحُونَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, and before they used to take, at least not the Injil, the Torah, they used to speak or boast to the Arabs, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant, يَسْتَفْتِحُونَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, they used to boast upon the Arabs what is going to happen, meaning they're boasting that they know that the Prophet is going to come. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَا عَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ, so when it came to them what they knew, they denied it. That was the problem. They did not want to accept it. Why? Because he was not one of the sons of Ishaq alayhi salam, but he was the son of Ismail alayhi salam. And this was one of the main rejections that they had when they did not want to believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Al-Imam al-Qurtubi, he narrates the story. He says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the ayah, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاهُمْ وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِّنْهُمْ لَيَكْتُمُونَ الْحَقَّ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. He says that when this ayah came down, which means in English, the people that we have given to them the book, meaning the people of the book, they know it like they know their sons, but وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا, and you will find a team or a group of them, لَيَكْتُمُونَ الْحَقَّ, they cover the truth, وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ, and they know exactly what is the truth. Umar radiallahu anhu, this Surah Baqarah ayah 146. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, when this ayah was revealed, he then went to Abdullah ibn Salam. Who was Abdullah ibn Salam? A rabbi. He was a rabbi and he became Muslim afterwards. So he goes to Abdullah ibn Salam and then he asks them, look, do you guys really believe in this? Do you find that the people of the book know the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam or know this deen more than their own sons? And he said, yes. Yes, we do, and even more. He said, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ba'ath aminahu fi al-sama'i la aminahu fi al-ard. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the message to the one that he trusts in the heavens, to the one that he trusts in the earth, meaning Jibreel alayhi salam, and then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, we know that that is truth. And he says, I know it even more better than I know my own son. This is the understanding that they had concerning the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they knew who he was. They knew exactly what he has brought was haq. But we know that sometimes pride and ignorance can cover a person's vision. You can have the highest IQ, but if you have arrogance and you have pride, you will not be able to see anything but yourself. You'll not be able to see anything but your opinion, and everybody else will be wrong, and you're not going to look at the facts. That is reality. That was a psychologist would tell you, and this is what they faced when they did not accept the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah then also proves, وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِي, that indeed from them, were, most of them were people that were illiterate, so they couldn't read and neither could they write. So they're not people on this high level of education. No, they were, most of them were illiterate. فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابَ أَيْدِيهِمْ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, vow unto those that write down or document supposedly the book and with their own hands, and they say that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah warns these people of a punishment that will come their way. So this shows us the lessons behind when the Nabi alayhi salam met Bahira, because Bahira knew exactly who he was, and Bahira knew also that this man or this boy is going to bring one of the most greatest things that mankind will ever witness, and that is the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the opportunity to continue and understand this beautiful deen. We love our brothers and sisters in the Christian faith and the Judaism faith. And we respect them, we love them, we believe in all prophets, and we love all prophets. Islam teaches us that you cannot be a Muslim unless you love the other prophets and you believe in the other prophets, and that is how we honor our brethren, the Jews and the Christians. We need to show love and respect and compassion to everyone. And we are we able to all unite is under the banner of Haq, truth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us that truth. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.